Please take your Bibles and turn with me in them, first to the Old Testament, the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 23, beginning at verse 16. It's found on page 826 in the Pew Bibles, Jeremiah 23, verse 16. The Jeremiah here is addressing false prophets, and that's what Jesus addresses in our text. We'll see, it's nothing new the church has had to deal with and be aware of. Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 16. People of God, hear now not my words, the very words of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Let us turn in the New Testament to the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. It's found on page 1239, Galatians 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then let us turn to the Gospel account of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. It's found on page 1032. Read beginning at verse 13, but our focus will be on verses 15 through 23. 15 through 23. So we draw near to the Sermon on the Mount, near to the end of it. Matthew 7, beginning at verse 13, Jesus said this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. The congregation, we're here in the time of spring. You go out, many things are blooming, growing. It might be difficult to tell whether a plant sprouting in a tree come a few months is corn or a weed, or sprouting in a flower bed. Well, is it a daffodil or a dandelion? Now, maybe you might be fooled at first by weeds and thistles and dandelions. But let some time pass and it will be obvious by the bloom what it is. No one mistakes thistles for corn in August. No one confuses daisies with dandelions. It becomes obvious which each one is as they bloom, doesn't it? It's that way in the spiritual realm also. Many people come claiming to speak truth, truth in religion. We'll just narrow it down there instead of other realms, truth in religion. Many claim to be disciples of Jesus, even use his name, Lord, Lord. But look a bit closer, wait a bit, observe. And you'll see there are many charlatans, many false prophets, false teachers, even fake Christians. Many people who go through the motions, even up to their death, yet are not born again, are not heirs of the kingdom of heaven, are not true. Jesus knows this. And he cautions us, his disciples, his hearers, us today, about being deceived. Don't be deceived. That's what I proclaim to you. Jesus cautions us against being deceived. First, we consider from verse 15, beware, there's danger of deceivers. Danger, deceivers. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, why this warning? Why near the end of the Sermon on the Mount? Again, think about Jesus giving of this sermon. How did he start it? In what context is it? The people of God had been deceived. They had false prophets. They had false teachers. So we read in verse 29 of this chapter, Jesus was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. Jesus spoke truth from God, contrasting it with errors that had been taught from sinful man, the scribes, the false prophets. We've seen that through these chapters over the previous months. Now, we often think of prophets as those who foretell the future, and that's one aspect, but primarily, prophets, as the saying goes, don't just foretell, they forth-tell. That is, they instructed the leaders and the people how they ought to live out God's word in their lives. They declared God's covenant, that bond, and how we ought to live in response, calling attention to instances in which the conduct of the people did not match true doctrine. They issued a call to repentance. That's what prophets often did. That was the work of the true prophet. A false prophet, though, does not do that. False prophets assured the people, you're okay. They prophesied prosperity to people who were wicked. They did not set forth God's word truly. As we read from Jeremiah 23, the false prophets spoke visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They said to those who despised the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart. Jeremiah tells us, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. That's the false prophet. And Jesus compares false prophets to wolves. Now, in doing this, Jesus does not use a natural situation because children, wolves don't put on sheep's clothing. But he anchors his teaching in a natural situation, wolves and sheep. Now, what we know about sheep, they go astray, don't they? They go astray without a predator. You don't even need a wolf to make a sheep go astray. It'll just do it. You need shepherds even without wolves. Shepherds to make the sheep go where they ought to go. Well, how much greater is the danger if the enemy, a wolf, is in their midst, is chasing them? How much worse, then, if a wolf looks like a sheep, infiltrates the flock, can destroy within, it can lead astray? All the while, the sheep, they're just happy. They're just carefree. They're living the life. That's what Jesus addresses here. The wolf dresses in sheep's clothing to deceive the sheep, so the sheep think, oh, the wolf is one of us. The sheep will not suspect a thing, won't even run away until it's devoured. A wolf preys upon the sheep, using the sheep for its own advantage. How much different is this than another sheep, or even more, better, a shepherd, a good shepherd? Think of a shepherd, it serves sheep. Think of that. But with the false prophet, it does not. A false prophet seeks to make a living from the people, reassuring them they're okay, so the money keeps flowing, the praise keeps flowing. The true prophet seeks to serve the sheep by declaring God's word truly to them, directing them away from error, directing them away from sin, into the right path. One thinks of Satan tempting Eve. We remember that from our stories growing up, from our series through Genesis. He came as a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. Not literally, of course, but figuratively. The destroyer, the original murderer, clothed himself in the form of a snake, deceiving Eve that here was a creature under her dominion instead of a demon seeking her destruction. Eve was deceived. And as one reads the account, you want to shout out to Eve, look out! That's no ordinary serpent. Don't listen to him. That's the devil seeking to destroy you. Beware! Jesus gives the same command, beware. Congregation, we have 2,000 pages of biblical teaching. We have thousands of years of human experience telling you, beware! The devil is on the prowl. Evil men, evil women are on the prowl. They will deceive you. They will mislead you. Beware. Jesus is the good shepherd. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he has set forth the way of righteousness, the narrow gate, the narrow way clearly. It's humble. It's humbled me. Trust it's humbled you. To hear his sermon, because we fail again and again. We're sinners, but it's for our good. Jesus has preached the Sermon on the Mount and had it recorded for us so that we come to know our sin, our misery, our danger, and turn to God through Christ's shed blood for forgiveness, for righteousness, for his life-giving spirit, and then say, ah, Lord, help me live this way. But the Pharisees, the scribes, they were false. They sought to have praise from men, sought to have the people support them with their offerings so they could tell them of a false righteousness. Oh, very outward, strict way of living, sure. But it was a righteousness that was not sufficient to enter the kingdom of heaven. It was still living according to your own strength, the virtue that an unregenerate person could show forth. The Pharisees taught and lived unrighteousness. Ultimately, beware. And such are with us yet today. False prophets, false teachers, false ministers, false elders, false members within the church. So beware. Some false prophets will tell you what you want to hear. about your anger, about your lust, about divorce, about revenge. They will teach you unrighteousness. Some false prophets will tell you something that might be difficult to perform, might appear to be very virtuous, but still it's your performing, your righteousness. You ultimately can do it. Some false prophets will gather large, growing crowds around them, giving all sorts of pointers to how to have your best life now, how to overcome financial burdens, how to have a happy marriage, all the while not drawing your eyes to God's righteous law, your failure of it, Christ's fulfilling of it, Christ's sacrifice to pay for our failures, Christ's Spirit empowering you, and then walking in that way. Many false prophets, many wolves in sheep clothing. This is still today. Beware. Does that mean that each household should leave the church? Should we just do home churching? That way I'm not listening to any false, but there's no chance of me listening to a false prophet. I just go to the Word of God myself. Do we reject all those who claim to teach God's law to us because of the danger of false prophets? Jesus isn't saying anything like that. You don't find that here at all. He says, beware of them. He doesn't say separate and be your own church in your home. We are to be vigilant within the church. You're not to grow complacent. We're to watch out. That's the command, not leave, watch out, beware. And Christ tells us how to detect. And we move to that in our second point, detecting deceivers, verses 16 through 20. There are wolves in sheep clothing out there, but don't despair. Jesus tells us how you can tell. He switches now metaphors to speak about fruit. Plants and trees give. Jesus said this, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Now think of this in terms of wolves and sheep. Wolves do not lead the sheep rightly, not toward good pasture. Maybe it appears to be a sheep, but they're really not. So with thorn bushes and thistles, from a distance they might appear to be a bush that could yield nourishing food. But upon closer inspection, you see, no, it doesn't. It doesn't help, it only hinders. Such is the case with false prophets. Now, children, when Jesus speaks here about fruit, recognizing a false prophet by its fruit, he doesn't mean people produce fruit you eat. Of course not. He speaks of that which comes from them. They might wear a suit coat. They might have a degree from a seminary. They might have nicely arranged hair. They might speak in pleasant tones, easy to hear, pleasing to the ear. They might gather a crowd. They might appear to bow their head in prayer. But look closer. Listen, examine those prophets and their teaching. So how do we do that? What is this fruit? Two things Jesus brings up again and again throughout the gospel accounts. Two things that come up in what we read from Galatians as well as Jeremiah and other parts of Galatians. First, consider their teaching. Their teaching, that's a fruit. Is it true? Is it spiritually nourishing? What are they telling you from the pulpit, in the classroom, over the airwaves, over the dinner table? Are they setting forth a righteousness that you can't achieve on your own? Are they giving you a list of do's and don'ts that if you perform it, and they say you can, you will have all your problems solved? Are they setting forth a different standard of right and wrong? Blurring what God says is right and wrong. Declaring their own reasoning, what feels good to you. From where are they drawing the teaching? Are they coming from God's word? The Apostle Paul brings that out, that fruit of teaching in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, 5, verse 7 and 12. Jeremiah, in our reading, that's the first type, the one type of examination of fruit, their teaching. There's a second way, and that's by considering the life, the lifestyle that follows from the teaching. And that ties in particularly with verses 21 through 23. We'll come to that. Is the teaching in accordance with godliness? They might be teaching or preaching or promoting doctrine, but does that doctrine match with righteous deeds, both in the abstract, flowing from the teaching, as well as their own lives? The apostle gives very clearly the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that flow from the teachings? Or is it the works of the flesh? Does it show forth in their lives? Do leaders strive to exhibit those virtues? Character counts. Don't be deceived. Character counts. Now, don't necessarily go based on what other people say about someone else. The world may malign true believers. We see that. Takes a sentence out of context. Look for yourself at their teaching. Look for yourself at their life, their walk. Compare their lives to the Apostle Paul's teaching, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you wonder if what someone teaches on a certain point is true? Well, look at the lifestyle that flows from that particular teaching. In that case, you're not looking at the whole man. You're narrowing it to that sliver. So what does that mean for us? There are always claims of truth. This is not unique in our time, deceivers. There will always be competing claims of truth. Don't be lazy. Don't just say, so-and-so said it. Sure, I'll go with it. Examine it. See if what was said comes true. See if what was said leads or led to righteousness in life. A true prophet brings true prophecies, true doctrine, true living. That doesn't mean the true prophet never sins. We all sin. Doesn't mean a true prophet doesn't occasionally speak incorrectly in a role of non-prophecy back then. They don't have their own struggles. We're not saying that. Prophets help the saints, the church of God. Like grapes, like figs, good fruit. As we think of this, our thoughts go to Jesus. Jesus is the good tree. From his blessedness, all true believers are nourished unto eternal life. He is the true prophet. He speaks only what is true. He's the opposite of a wolf in sheep's clothing. He, the Son of God, took upon himself our nature. Why? To save us. There's fruit. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd. Guides his flocks in the fair pastures. He serves us, even though he's Lord of all. Do you wonder about Jesus' teaching? Well, it's better than that of the Pharisees. It's better than that of liberal Christianity, of the Buddha or the Muhammad. Look at the fruit of the life. Who is the only one who lived a perfect life? Jesus. Not Muhammad. Not other religious leaders. Who is the one who willingly suffered for the sins of others, enduring the punishment our sins deserve? Jesus. Now, for a time, it appeared that Jesus was a bad tree. He died in a cursed death, the death of the cross. He was cut down, cut off from the land of the living, but it was for the transgression of God's people he was stricken, not his own. He was righteous. And his righteousness is proved in that God raised him from the dead. There's a life-giving tree. Again, look at the fruit of Jesus, his teaching, his living, his blessedness. It is he alone who can nourish unto eternal life. Not yourself, not me, not Pharisees, not liberalism, that's Christianity so-called, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not some talk radio host or any other human being or invention of man. It's Jesus alone. Detect deceiving religions by their fruit. Where do those religions lead? Young adults, you're going to have a lot of questions. You're having them. Why Christianity? Why this brand or strand of Christianity? Look at the end. Again, Hinduism, what does it itself proclaim? Buddhism, what does it itself proclaim? Islam, look at it. Only Christianity proclaims righteousness and resurrection. Look at the fruit. Does it end in death or not? Does it deny life and righteousness or not? Now, they might have nuggets of truth. Hey, even a wolf has four legs like a sheep. But at the heart, they're ferocious. And your soul will be devoured by them. Detect the true religion of Christianity by Christ's fruit, eternal life to those who trust in him. And there's a warning here. For those who are following false teachers, false prophets, and those who echo those teachings and those philosophies and those values in the way of life, you're joining with them. Beware, that end is destruction. Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, earthly trees, they might endure an earthly fire. human beings who are false prophets. Jesus is talking here about the eternal fire of hell. There's danger here. This matters. Young adults, you've been raised in the church, many of you. Don't take it for granted. These are serious eternal issues. Don't be deceived. But we have to admit, we're let down at times, aren't we? We know people who have good teaching, but they fail morally. We know persons whose teaching strays, but they're such kind people. So what do we do with that? Well, first, humans will always let you down. I will let you down. The elders will let you down. Children, your parents will let you down. In a manner of speaking, your country, your political party, your church, your family will fail. Don't put your faith in them. Put your faith in Jesus. He will never fail. Now, it seems, though, here that Jesus is speaking more along the line of those who are Pharisees and scribes. Again, that's where he directs his teaching. Who had a show of being religious, but their teaching and their living were clearly consistently not right. Faithful prophet points to Christ alone, not to himself. Faithful prophets are those who bring to you what is Jesus, who declare rightly the gospel of Christ, by which the Holy Spirit produces faith within our hearts. Faithful prophets strive to live out, though imperfectly, the life Jesus imparts. You can tell a true prophet from a false prophet. So do it. Don't be lazy. Does the one who claimed to be a prophet point to Jesus? What is his fruit, teaching and life? Is the teaching one that accords with godliness? Now, before we move on, remember the fruit does not make the tree. The tree makes the fruit. One must be engrafted into Christ before they will bring forth good fruit. One must be born again before they'll produce fruit appropriate to repentance. But that fruit will follow. Paul wrote of it, fruit of the Spirit. And from that fruit, you can recognize a true prophet from a false prophet. It can't be faked. Not if you're going to open your eyes and see, if you look with Scripture. For this reason, then, not only are we to examine the fruit of others, false prophets, true prophets, public figures, but we are to examine ourselves. And that's what Jesus moves to, we consider in our third point, detecting self-deception. Self-deception, verses 21 through 23. So it's not only prophets and teachers that will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. They will, and those who are teachers will have to give more account for what they say. James tells us that. But every human being must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Pharisees seem to have thought they would enter the kingdom of heaven. They fully expected to, it seems. But Jesus declares at the beginning of the sermon, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no implicit faith that, well, they've got it right. You must believe. The Pharisees were self-deceived, and so are many people. The Jewish scribes deceive themselves regarding their standing in God's eyes, and so do many people. We take a survey of the people around us. Many will say they think they'll go to heaven when they die. Very few will think they're excluded from that kingdom. Although we encounter some like that, don't we? They're fine going to hell where they'll be with their friends. But narrow that down just to those who go to church, whether twice a week or twice a year. Many of those think they're going to heaven when they die. Very few, if any, think they will be excluded from that kingdom. Here again, these verses. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There are many. Jesus said that. Verse 22, many will say to me, who are self-deceived. thinking that because they say the words, Lord, Lord, they're going to heaven. Many self-deceived, thinking because they perform some service that appeared to be for God, they're going to heaven. Look at the works Jesus brings out here, prophesying, casting out demons, many mighty works. Who knows, all miracles perhaps? Great works. Seems a lot more than what I do, what you do. But it's not the greatness of the works, outward greatness that you or I do, that grants someone entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Pharisees had great works. The Jewish leaders had great works. The Gospel account of John records the Jewish high priest prophesied. And Jesus speaks of Jews who cast out demons. But they didn't know Christ. Christ did not know them. There might be people here in this congregation, people listening via live streaming, who say, Lord, Lord, with the mouth, who say Jesus is Lord, who might sing words of the songs we sing, who might sit through the proclamation of the gospel, who are not saved. Congregation, examine your own hearts and lives. Are you deceiving yourself? Do you think it's by showy works the Lord will recognize you? That you can clothe yourself in some outward deed of piety or put on a suit and a tie and give in the collection plate and attend worship services and speak a certain way, you'll fool God. You think that even though you might prophesy in His name, perform miracles, mighty works, it's not enough. The throne of judgment. The Lord will say to the unbeliever, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Many who say with words, who even perform some good works, it appears, but don't do the will of the Father in heaven. But those who belong to Christ hear His word. And by God's grace, they're doers of it. Not perfectly, but they run from sin. They strive to live a godly life. According to God's law, they're disciples of Jesus. That's what we're coming to in our evening sermon series, the Ten Commandments, what discipleship looks like. The final judgment is reflected in an earthly way in the consistories examining the life and doctrine of those who are request membership in the church. The consistory doesn't do that work infallibly. So too, the elders continue to observe the life and doctrine of the members of this church. Again, not infallibly. Jesus' judgment will be infallible, without error, unable to err. He'll see past all the showy deeds of the hypocrites, all the words, all the sheep's clothing down to the wolf. He will look past showy deeds to actually doing the will of the Father. That goes beyond just trying to do part of God's law, but reserving, well, this is mine. God, I'll give you 9 of those commandments. This one's mine. It's striving to live according to all, not just part of God's law. Otherwise, you're not doing the will of the Father. Everything else is worthless. It comes from the one who is himself subject to judgment. Unknown, not known, never knew. Have you heard the Sermon on the Mount? Do you think you personally, yeah, I live up to this standard. Such a one doesn't enter. The Pharisees, they had a really good outward show, but they didn't enter. Neither do you or I by nature. Well, how can I be assured that Jesus knows me? You know, there's an evangelism method used popular some time ago that asked a really good question. If you were to die tonight, and Jesus asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Would you say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I did mighty works in your name. Would you say, I showed up to church from a Christian family. I did this, I did that. I won't do it. What would you say? Say, because of Jesus. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose again. I'm His. I trust Him. He's changed me. I'm His. That's a crying out, Lord, Lord. That's right. God looks beyond showy deeds. He looks to reality. So how to be assured? Jesus said in John 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Trust in Jesus. Bring forth fruits of repentance by the power of His Spirit that flows from faith. It's faith alone that saves us, but that faith shows forth in real works, true works. Trusting in Jesus, He laid down His life. He produces that fruit of the Spirit. His righteousness credited to us apart from all of our works through faith alone. But it shows up in a changed life. The final day when all are judged according to works. It's not based on works, but our works reveal their fruit. What is that tree like? So congregation, don't be deceived by others. Don't deceive yourselves. Always turn away from yourself. Turn to Christ in faith. And listen to faithful prophets who proclaim Jesus to you. May not tell you what you want to hear. Proclaim Christ, God's law, and Christ. By His grace and the power of His Spirit, believe and live out that righteousness, bringing forth much fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us that caution. Thank You for sending Your Son, the true prophet, our only high priest, our eternal King. Thank You for changing us so that we are real sheep of Your pasture, not wolves. We have become a good tree by Your grace, and we bear forth that fruit of the Spirit, Your Spirit. Increase that, Lord. May we not be lazy, but discerning, diligent. Guard us from deception. And may we speak truth to others. In Jesus' name, amen.